This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. It's April Fool's Day, and we're doing this program on April Fool's Day, and the topic is Don't Be Fooled by Scams. And so some of you will get the program the following week, but what we're talking about on April Fool's Day is the same kind of scams that you'll be confronted with possibly next week when you get this program that's distributed throughout the state of California. My guest is Jay White, pro bono emeritus attorney with the Legal Aid Society of San Mateo County. My other guest is Joseph Rideout, manager of consumer services for Consumer Action, the National Consumer Advocacy and Educational Organization. I want to give you a couple of websites that are incredibly helpful to you in trying to keep up with scams and trying to protect yourself and being kind of an advocate yourself of your protection from scams. One is the Consumer Action website, www.consumer-action.org, and I'll repeat this during the course of the program. The other one is that I would recommend to you a very good site on the web for Scam Busters, www.scambusters.org. Again, I'll give that to you a little bit later in the program. Funding for this segment of Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association San Francisco and by the San Mateo County Bar Association. Additional funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar and the Family Law Section of the State Bar. Well, Joe and Jay, it's great to have you here.
Thank you.
And Joe, since you're on the phone, can you hear us okay?
I can.
All right. Let's do this, if you would. One of the things that I think, Joe, you wanted to start with, and I had this with some years ago in my office, the San Mateo County DA's office, Consumer Protection Unit, was the mystery shopper scam. Tell us a little bit about that, and what do you recommend that people do?
Well, yeah, the mystery shopper scam is something that's been around for a few years. Traditionally, the way it works is that somebody's contacted out of the blue, often by phone, promising them a job as a mystery shopper, and often they're supposed to evaluate the effectiveness of MoneyGram or Western Union, and they're sent a check eventually for about $2,800, say, and told they'll be paid about $300 for their services just by sending the $2,800 or $2,500 through Western Union. They're given this check to deposit in their bank. Banks release the funds after a maximum of 5 days, but they don't necessarily find out that the check is good or bad until a couple of weeks pass in many cases. So there's this gap just between banks have to release the funds. When people look at their account and they are told that the funds have been released, they often think that it's a legitimate check. They send the money, and then they're responsible for the entire balance of $2,500 that they have sent that they never had in their bank account.
And the experience, it's really horrible. The experience that the consumer who filed a complaint with my office had was that she had received postal money orders and very, very good counterfeits. And, of course, the real problem is that, unfortunately, people don't wait a couple of weeks to make sure the checks are good. And, of course, it's pie in the sky, this whole idea with these mystery shopper things. And so that's very good. Let me turn now to Jay.
Well, let me just say,
yeah,
like,
please.
What's new about the mystery shopper scam is that now it's not just someone calling out of the blue. It's moved on to social networking.
Oh, yes.
Job networking sites like LinkedIn, for example, has had a huge growth in these mystery shopping scams appearing on the LinkedIn website, people looking for jobs. So you have to be careful not just of phone calls, which is kind of the way scams like this operated in the past, but more and more these scams are migrating onto social media platforms that are the way people communicate nowadays.
One of the things that I want to let people know about is in one of the recent scam busters, they send out stuff weekly to people who are members, and there's no charge to be a member, by the way. And one of the things in one of the recent things here is that in research done by an outfit called Bitdefender, Bitdefender, in a two-year study, it shows that apparently 850,000 persons on Facebook were scammed. And so this is something where You got to be really careful on Facebook or any of these social media things that you are not going to be scammed. Let me turn, if I may, to you, Jay, for just a moment here. You mentioned something to me before we started the program where someone was working with their computer, and maybe it was a new computer, and all of a sudden on the screen there's wording, "You are at risk." Tell us a little bit about that. What's the situation here?
Yes, the scammers are using the computers more and more for various ways of separating people from their money. This particular one is, the situation is that a computer owner will log on, and in bold letters, possibly in red, there will be a warning. Your computer is at risk. You've been invaded by a dangerous virus. Emergency. Call this 800 number immediately. And what happens if the computer owner does call the 800 number, there will be some discussion go on, and then the scammer will say, "Well, I can fix it for you, but it's going to cost you money, $200 to $300.
And usually they say it's cheaper than if you take it to, like, Apple or some
right.
reputable place.
In this one instance, the scammer said, "Well, Microsoft would charge you $500, but I'll charge you only $300.
Yeah.
But there's a follow-up. The scammers, if they are disappointed and you don't react, some of them go onto your computer, damage the operating system. That happened to one person that I know, and it cost $300 to have the computer repaired.
By a reputable outfit.
So, yeah. But on the subject of computers, another thing that I see happening frequently is there's an opportunity you'll be given something free. You'll download something free. Well, the problem there is you have to give your email address to whoever's going to give you something free, and that means for all practical purposes you've published it to the world, and so you've let your email address out, and you may get something downloaded to be worthwhile, but it's something, my personal policy is I do not accept anything that's offered free on the computer.
Joe, what comments do you have about that? How many free offers do you accept, Joe?
Well, I guess most of them I do not. But, there are. Some
how about those trips to the? How about Joe? How about the trips to the Caribbean? Aren't you accepting those free trips?
Not recently. No, not. But you know, in terms of like electronic scams like that that come over email or on websites, you find what's interesting. We actually had a member of our staff at Consumer Action be solicited by a scammer on Craigslist. And obviously there's lots of great stuff you can buy and sell on Craigslist, but there's also a lot of scams you can run into. You have to be very careful. This one involved PayPal. And what's interesting about PayPal is that, you know, it's a form of payment that many people use, but the thing you have to be careful of is that PayPal only really has protections for you as a buyer if your transaction is fouled up on eBay, not if you use it to solicit a transaction on Craigslist or other sites.
That's very interesting.
If your transaction goes bad or you don't get what you paid for on eBay, you're going to be in good shape with PayPal. But you know, as the growth of PayPal as a payment instrument spreads, you need to be aware that those protections don't exist everywhere. And so there's a lot of scams that involve getting someone to pay with PayPal rather than a credit card or other forms of payment. And they use a hacked PayPal account in some cases, and then the money goes into your account when you're selling something.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they get the object you're selling, they report the transaction to PayPal as a theft, and PayPal takes the money out of your account. Then you have no money, and your merchandise is gone.
Oh,
or sometimes a Craigslist scammer can pay you with a real PayPal account and ask you to ship the merchandise to a different address, and once they have the merchandise in hand, they can ask for a chargeback from PayPal saying they never received the item, and PayPal won't protect you if you ship anywhere other than the verified PayPal address.
Oh, that's
scammers
interesting.
Know this. So they just ask for a different address and can use that as leverage to rip it off.
Wow. Incredible. Incredible. Let me give again, because I think this is very important, and I'm hoping that all of you who are listening to the program, Your Legal Rights, on April Fool's Day, have a pen or pencil and paper there, because the whole point of this program is to try to educate you and help you to protect yourself from scams. So a couple of websites that I'd like you to put down where you can go to and learn more about the current scams, and these are there. They're there now. They'll be there in the future. The first one is Consumer Actions website, www.consumer-action.org. The other one is for Scam Busters, www.scambusters.org. Both of those are great sources for keeping you alert to scams that are coming up. It's something, and many other areas of consumer issues that would affect the public generally, I think you'll find on both of these websites. My guests, in case you joined us in the last few minutes on Your Legal Rights, are Joe Rideout. He's the Manager of Consumer Services for Consumer Action, which is the National Consumer Advocacy and Educational Organization. As a matter of fact, Joe's been on the program a number of times over the years. The executive director of that program is one of my earlier guests on this program. I've been doing this for 32 years. Tell us, how is your boss, by the way?
Ken McEldowney is doing a wonderful job. He's steering us into the future better than ever, and we're very proud of all he's done and happy to be working for him.
Well, Ken has always been a great consumer advocate, and I'm glad he's doing well. I haven't talked to Ken in many, many years. I hope he's listening to the program. In any event, what I'm going to do for you, Joe, whether you want it or not, we'll send you an hour CD of this program, and then you can take it to Ken and ask him to listen to it. And he might say to you after he listens to it, gee, that really helped me to go to sleep, Joe.
Hopefully not. Yeah.
No, I hope not, too.
He'll insist on coming back on himself.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Talk to him in person.
Yeah, my other guest is Jay White. He's pro bono emeritus attorney with the Legal Aid Society of San Mateo County. He's been doing that for just about 11 years. So, all right. And for those of you who are listening to the program live, in a few minutes I will give you the local number. You can call in, tell us about the scams that you have been confronted with, which might be very helpful to other people in terms of listening to the program. Let me go back for a moment. I know that, Jay, you wanted to talk about the Affordable Care Act and some scams going on about that. What's that?
That is a fairly recent one as far as I've been able to tell. And I don't know all the details, but it appears that some of the scammers are contacting people that are covered by the Affordable Care Act, known as Obamacare, with promises of providing some sort of great services if they're paid. And I just think that is something that should be avoided. Don't give money to people of that nature unless you know exactly what they have to sell. If you need some insurance to go with your Affordable Act benefits, you should contact a reputable person who could provide you that information and inform you what you need, and do not respond to these people that might call you on the phone or send you an email. It's just another way they have of separating you from your money.
Is our state making any attempt to educate people about this?
I'm not aware of any widespread attempt to make
it. Too bad. Too bad.
There are certain organizations that try to do it on an individual basis, such as the Legal Aid Society in San Mateo County and quite a number of others. Canner is one of which has a good reputation, and they provide...
C-A-N-N-R, Canner, the...
California Nursing Home... I don't remember the rest of it, but they're primarily interested in making sure the old folks' homes are operated the way they should, that there's reasonable care, and that's a very fine organization.
Are you aware of this scam that's going on, Joe?
Yeah, and it's not just that. You could almost say it's a real growth industry in government imposter scams. And we've been trying to warn people about various government imposter scams for many years at Consumer Action. The one that is most prevalent right now is where scammers posing as IRS agents are claiming that unless people pay up for alleged back taxes, that they'll be fined, that their driver's license could be suspended or other outlandish things like that, or they could be arrested. But they leave urgent callback requests to people who may not be aware that the IRS is not going to call you. They'll send you a letter. You'd get a chance to appeal in the event that they did. But imposter scams like this are now number three on the Federal Trade Commission's top 10 consumer complaints list for 2014. Over 276,000 complaints have been filed about this. So, I mean, the IRS, bogus IRS scam, they'll give you a fake IRS badge number. They'll alter the caller ID with caller ID spoofing software to make it look like it's the IRS actually calling. So it can be very convincing if you're someone who's perhaps a recent immigrant to the country or someone who's just not aware that the IRS will not contact you like this. But the government imposter scams are very intimidating to many consumers.
If someone gets a call like this, I suppose... If I got a call like this, what I would ask them for, and Joe and Jay, you tell me how you would approach it, please. But if I got a call like this from someone who represented him or herself as being a representative of the IRS, I would ask them for their callback number.
And
they might not want to give it to
directly.
Pardon me? I'm sorry.
Call the IRS directly and verify whether or not this is true.
That's the point, yes.
But you can also just be certain if you're getting a call from the IRS that it is not from the IRS, that they simply do not work that way. Even if it is a collection situation, you'll get a
The reason letter, the reason I would ask for a phone number is because I would want to get that as some evidence of where this call supposedly was coming from. And then I would want to contact either the Federal Trade Commission or the IRS or the U.S. Attorney's Office or whatever. What recommendation would you have on that one, Jay, please?
Well, the big problem, I think, is the practical end of it. Most of the people that I work with who have been scammed with these government programs, they are not really... they're not comfortable following up with things like that. Now, I frequently help a person file a complaint with the Federal Trade Commission, but even that is a big of a challenge for some people. But that is probably the most referrals or assists that I give have to do with the Federal Trade Commission, because they do have authority to go after the scammers. If it's a business operating under a business name, they can shut the business down. So the Federal Trade Commission is a good organization.
What about you, Joe? How would you deal with that?
Well, if you get one of these things, another that I just want to mention quickly is a made-up federal agency that other scammers are using called the Bureau of Defaulters. We put up an alert about this a couple of weeks ago, purporting to be from the federal government. The Bureau of Defaulters does not exist, of course, but they're claiming they can put people's Social Security numbers on hold unless you pay up for an alleged debt that the people owe, which they, in almost all cases, do not owe. But for this or these other government imposter scams, we recommend people contact the Federal Trade Commission. You can do that at ftccomplaintassistant.gov. You can also call them up. And they also, if you get some of the spam emails purporting to be from a government agency, you can forward it to spam@uce.gov. That's a special mailbox the FTC set up to collect scam spam.
Say that again, would you, Joe? How does that go?
It would be spam and then at UCE.gov.
I got it. Okay. That was one I'm not aware of. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's one they've set up just specially to build cases against fraudsters like this. If they get enough of these cases and victims, then they can take action because they do it on a number priority basis for the most part. But, yeah, it's they're sending out tens or even hundreds of thousands of these emails and calls, and
incredible.
All you need to do is find 1,000 people that might have legitimate concern about the government contacting them. Maybe they actually do owe some back taxes.
Sure.
Maybe they're not,
sure.
They're not authorized to be U.S. residents. There's all kinds of reasons, but if you contact the most vulnerable populations by sending out such a volume of calls and emails, you're going to get a lot of victims, and unfortunately, there's a reason that this is a growth industry for scammers.
One of the things that I'm very pleased about in terms of the education and trying to help people avoid legal problems of this program, Your Legal Rights, is that Radio Bilingue, which is a network of stations throughout California, and I think they're also in perhaps adjoining states, I'm not sure, but the first half hour of this program is a statewide version of the program, and we send a half-hour CD out to the Radio Bilingue stations, and they play it the following week, and there are 15 of them. And, of course, their listeners, a good percentage, of course, are Spanish-speaking. A good percentage are also English and Spanish-speaking, and that's why they carry the program. Joe, you were concerned about some of the scams that are confronting Spanish-speaking people. What? Give us a little on that, would you?
Sure. We have heard from dozens of people at Consumer Action about a scam that specifically targeting Spanish-speaking consumers. These are people who have purchased from various outfits language courses or herbal supplements, beauty products in other cases, but what winds up happening is that they, months into the future, they get a call from a purported debt collection agency that claims that unless they pay up hundreds of dollars, and in some cases thousands of dollars right away, that they will face arrest, or they'll have to go appear in court in another state,
mm-hmm.
or face deportation by the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
It's an outrageous scam that is targeting people who may not be as aware of their legal rights as the average person in the United States. So it's particularly pernicious. It's targeting people who really are in a very bad position to defend themselves. But people just need to be aware that if you're contacted by a debt collector, you have the right to demand validation of that debt. You should put it in writing, but under no circumstances could you have to appear in court without being served with papers called a summons. You couldn't be deported because of unsecured debt that you defaulted on. The claims that these scammers are making are just outrageous, but they're intimidating enough.
Of course, yeah.
Particularly to recent immigrants, that some of them are falling for it, and it's just tragic, and we want people to be as aware of this as possible, that this is not a legitimate threat.
Certainly, if I were to receive a call from someone who, let's say, was a recent immigrant to this country, to California, and they were telling me about this. I'm being hounded by this debt collector. I don't believe I have any debt at all, but this person keeps hounding me. I would want that person to file a complaint with my office, if this person was in where my office is, the San Mateo County DA's office, file a complaint with my office, and we would start an investigation. And I'm sure that every DA's office throughout the state of California would take the same approach. And the thing that I am concerned about here is that people who are recent to this country and may not have, let's say, the legal right to be here, which is a big issue today, still, they have a right to be protected from scams and fraud. And unless I'm missing something here, I know of no DA's office who receives a complaint from someone who may be not here legally will turn that over to ICE or the federal government to kick these people out of the country. Joe, do you have any comments about that?
Oh, yeah. No, they would never do such a thing.
Yeah.
singularly interested in bringing to justice people who are breaking the law in terms of this financial fraud, not in terms of enforcing a federal immigration policy.
Yes.
They're two completely different issues, and local law enforcement like that is just focused exclusively on holding up the law in terms of protecting you from fraud. Because, you know, the reality is, you know, the frauds that perpetuate within non-English-speaking communities are much more pernicious than what you see in English-speaking communities.
I think
populations that have less internet access, they may have less familiarity with how the financial rules of this country work. So, I mean, for all the bad frauds that are out there in English, if you look at the Chinese-speaking or Spanish-speaking or other language groups, those frauds are much more outrageous that would barely last long.
And that's because most people who are either Chinese-speaking or Spanish-speaking or some other language are very reticent about reporting this to the local police or the DA's office, unfortunately. We have, in the statewide version of the program, which is nearly over now, of Your Legal Rights, we will continue, by the way, for those of you listening to us live. We continue for another half hour locally as well as on the Internet at www.kalw.org. But if you would take a minute, both of you, or you, Joe, I'm going to focus this one on you, if you would. Payday loans, what are the concerns you have about that?
Well, okay, so, you know, people think of scams in terms of illegal activities. But the reality is there's a lot of scams that operate in a nebulous area where they have not yet been declared illegal, or they may have been illegal over the long term, but they are scams nonetheless. And, you know, payday loans are one of those. Over the long-term historical experience of our state, they were in violation of our usury law. The laws were changed in the 1990s to allow people to open up a shop and charge people up to 459% interest rate annually, which is what you can charge in California with a payday loan. It is a scam, but it is legal. So, I mean, it's important to think of scams not just ones that are in clear violation of the law, but some that are scams that have not yet been declared illegal yet. You know, another one.
We've just about run out of time. We'll talk about in the next half hour. So this is the end of the statewide version of the program. It is now about 7:27 and a half at 91.7, your local public radio station, KLW in San Francisco. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing a program on April Fool's Day. It happens to be, for those of you who are listening to us live, it's the evening, folks. And that's not a joke. That's not an April Fool. It is the evening. But the topic is don't be fooled by scams. Let me invite you, if you've been scammed or you're concerned about someone close to you, a friend or relative who's been scammed, I would hope that you would call into the program, tell us what the problem is. We'll have some discussion about it, maybe give you some direction of what may be done. The number is 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. If you're out of the area or wherever you are, if you're listening to us on the Internet at www.kalw.org, it's the same phone number that you can call, 1-415-841-4134. If you have been, there's been an attempt to scam you, and you were clever enough to avoid being scammed, or maybe you weren't clever enough to avoid being scammed, I'd certainly like to hear from you. So don't be bashful. If you have been scammed, if there's been an attempt to scam you, I think a conversation with your input could be very valuable. Let me tell you who we've got here with me on the program, Jay White, pro bono emeritus attorney with the Legal Aid Society of San Mateo County. He's been with them just about 11 years. My other guest is Joe Rideout. He's manager of consumer services for Consumer Action, the National Consumer Advocacy and Educational Organization. I'm going to repeat the websites again because I think this is a great way for you to continue to educate yourself to prevent being victimized by scams. Consumer Action's website, www.consumer-action.org. It's all lowercase. And then for Scam Busters, again, lowercase, www.scambusters, scambusters.org. Both of those are excellent websites for trying to educate yourself. Joe, you gave in the a few minutes ago a website. I want to have you give that again, would you? It was something at uce.gov. What was that?
Oh, yeah. This is a website that the Federal Trade Commission set up to collect spam that is trying to lure you into a scam. And it's spam@uce.gov.
And it's S-P-A-M. That's the spam we're talking about. Not what you would find in the market in a can, right?
Well, the same thing, spam. S-P-A-M, identical to that loathsome meat and the loathsome information that winds up in our email boxes.
Right, okay.
Spam@uce.gov. And that's where you can forward sketchy emails that you believe are a scam. The FTC will follow up, and if they collect enough, they can try to track down.
All right, let's take a call. Again, everybody, join us. Don't be bashful. 1-415-841-4134. And we've got Erin. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I am a person who has a lot of student loans debt, and I've been recently contacted by a private organization that says that if I, enter into a deal with them, for a certain amount of money, that then my loans, my government loans, will be forgiven after 20 years.
After 20 years?
Is that right? 20 years, because otherwise, I have so many loans I'll be paying for much longer than 20 years.
Oh, my. Wow.
So, it sounds like a good deal, even if I do have to pay them quite a bit of money. So I'm just wondering if this is a scam.
How much do they want you to pay them, Erin?
I actually haven't gotten that far in the conversation, but I have talked to a friend who talked to them, and they said it was like about $600.
I think this sounds very suspicious to me. Where is this outfit from, do you know?
I don't know, and when I looked, they have such a innocuous name that when I look them up online, they don't. There's nothing there.
You be very careful. Let me get some comments for you. You know anything about this, Joe? Joe, are you there? Joe, all right. Let's let him call back. I think Joe, have we lost you? I think we've lost him. Let's hang up on his line. Let him call back, okay? Will you hang up on it? All right. Every once in a while we have a gremlin running, and unfortunately the gremlin is running tonight. Do you have something, Jay, for Erin on this?
Well, it sounds as if it may be similar to what I've experienced with so-called debt management companies, a particular person has substantial debts, credit card debts, and maybe limited income. And this particular organization agrees to take care of all your debts for you, negotiate with your creditors, but you have to send them money. And their contract is written such that when you send them money, the first thing they do is they take money out for their management services.
Of course.
And then they build up what they call the client account. And when they get a certain amount of money in there, they will then negotiate with creditors.
Now, you're talking about a debt settlement company,
debt management company.
Okay.
Where they say they will take care of all the debts, but what happens is they don't take care of all the debts because they don't have enough money, and then the debtors get tired of waiting, and they go ahead and sue the person who's been paying money into this debt management company. That happens quite a lot. And it's one of those where I think Joe mentioned it's one of those, you might say it's a legal scam, because the way they do it, their contracts are written so that they have a way of getting around prosecution. That's been my experience with them.
Joe, are you back? Oh, dear. Unfortunately, we have lost him. Joe, you're not there, huh? Well, I don't know what happened to Joe. Erin, are you still there?
Yes.
Let me mention, where do you live? What city?
Berkeley.
Yeah. I think what you should do also, the red flags are waving with how you describe this to me.
Yeah.
I think you should contact the Golden Gate Better Business Bureau.
Okay.
Because I've done a lot of work with them over the years. They've referred to my office a lot of things going on, and they're very good. They will not solve the problem, but they will be able to tell you if they have received complaints about this company or about these people. So
yeah.
you be careful. This does not sound right to me. It just sounds like they're looking for your 600 or someone's $600, and you'll never hear from them again. So you be very careful. And and one of the other things that I have for you to suggest is that if you have, did you go to law school or medical school? Is that why you have these enormous student loans?
Yeah, medical school.
Yeah. Okay. Unfortunately, you are confronted with something that's going to last a long time. I am not an advocate that people try to go through bankruptcy just to get rid of legitimate debts. But it may be worth it for you to contact a certified specialist in bankruptcy law, certified by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, and you can Google California Board of Legal Specialization. It's part of the State Bar of California, and find who the bankruptcy certified specialists are in Alameda County, and set up an interview with one of these attorneys and see what kind of recommendation you can get. If you are faced, frankly, with debts that are going to last longer than 20 years. I mean, that's incredible. You bought into this, unfortunately. But maybe there is a way that you can legitimately get out of it without being scammed by somebody. So that's one of my recommendations for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Take care.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Rose, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Oh, hello. Yes, I just want to mention a scam which I hadn't heard of this one before, but a couple of weeks ago, I got a phone call which was allegedly from a company called something like Smart Energy, and they said I was going to get a discount on my PG&E bill, blah, blah, blah. Well, this seemed very silly to me because if I were going to get a discount on my PG&E bill, it would be PG&E that was informing me, so I immediately just hung up on them as, oh, junk phone call. But they were very persistent and called back two or three more times that week.
Yeah.
And so about the third time or so, I thought, oh, okay, I'm going to see where this is going. And I played along for a little while. And of course, the punchline was, the guy wanted me to give him my PG&E account number so that he could give me this discount.
Mm.
And I, of course, my account number? I'm not giving you my account number. And besides, I might just report you for fraud. Goodbye.
Yeah, yeah.
And I hung up.
Did you?
I did send an email to the San Francisco City Attorney and to PG&E about the matter.
Good.
But
have you gotten any response back on that?
I haven't gotten any response back on that, no. Now, it must be that something as innocuous as my PG&E account number could be a portal for them to get other identity information on me, because that number alone wouldn't be worth anything.
Yeah.
But anyway, but
well,
you know, I knew it was a scam right away, and I didn't give it to them.
Well,
but
good for you. Good for you.
I just, as I said, I sent these emails because I thought other people should be informed.
I think that was incredible. I think you should also call customer service for PG&E, Rose, and talk with a human being and see what kind of complaints other PG&E customers are sending in to PG&E on this, because there may be the need for some kind of a criminal prosecution of these people.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So thank you very much for calling and telling us about it.
Okay.
All right. Take care, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
Rose,
oh, you're back. Okay, Joe, you're back. Good. What happened to you? Where'd you go?
Sure.
You guys knocked me off, I'm back. I mean, in addition to the possibility of identity theft that Rose mentioned, there's also a possibility, or really a probability, that you'll be added to something that criminals call a sucker list.
Of course.
If you do respond in the way that they're looking for, not only will you possibly lose money or expose yourself to identity theft, but that information will be sold to other scammers, and then you'll get even more unwanted emails, phone calls, what have you, and have to respond to a great deal more scam offers in the future. So it's great that you nip that in the bud, because it can get pretty ugly.
Good. I'm very glad you came back, and we missed you, Joe, so welcome back to the program. Support for KLW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The San Francisco Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation in both San Francisco and Marin County. For a referral to a lawyer, call 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. If you are in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service. That number is 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. If you're in any other county in California, every county has a bar association and a lawyer referral service. You can call your own during normal business hours. Tell them what the problem is. They'll do their best to find someone competent, to find a competent attorney to talk with you, pardon me, for half an hour. And with minor exception throughout California, for a half an hour consultation with an attorney, you'll pay $25 to $35. It's a great consumer service. The money does not go to the attorney. It goes to the lawyer referral service to keep it going. So that's something available to you. And now we have, it looks like Dolores. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you, Chuck, for taking my call.
Of course.
I wanted to say thank you, because I've gotten lots of great advice from your program. But I want to call about a problem that I had with Chase Bank. I have my mortgage with Chase Bank, and my mortgage date is due on the 10th of each month. However, there is a grace period of 15 days, and I always pay within the grace period. And I've had my mortgage for over 15 years with Chase. But however, I was getting all of these calls from their collection part of Chase. You know, they were calling me and telling me that, you know, your loan was due on the 10th and you're late. And I says, but there's a 15-day grace period. And so they told me that, they kept calling me, telling me my payment was late. So I eventually, after 3 weeks, I went into the bank, and they asked, so I told them, I said, if you continue to call me, I'm going to move my mortgage to someplace else, because I have never been late. And so the bank called them, and they didn't understand why they were doing this.
Yeah.
And so I don't understand why they were doing this, but they said that when the bank called them, they said they were just reminder notices to me. And so I just want, and I think it's because I'm older, you know, I'm now pretty much going to be 68 years old, and so I don't know what this is all about, but this is what they're doing. And so they said that they would note my account and not send me any more of those calls unless it was after the grace period. But I thought it was pretty yucky that they were calling me even before, and despite the fact that I had, my account, my mortgage is always, on time. And
Dolores, let me interrupt for a moment. I'm concerned that you were called by someone, you know, for example, Target, its customers' accounts were captured by scammers. And I think there was something like, I forget, well over 100,000, maybe it was even more than that, 100,000 persons. I'm concerned that these calls you were getting purportedly from Chase were not from Chase, and whoever at the bank, when you went to the Chase bank who called, may not have realized that that may have been a bogus person.
Well, I called the Chuck. Excuse me for interrupting, but I called the Better Business Bureau.
Yeah.
They initially said it was a scam.
Yeah.
But because I have caller ID, I took the 800 numbers of those calls, and I took them into the bank. And what they did, they verified those numbers.
Really?
That they were actually from Chase.
That's very interesting. Let me get some comments from my guests. Turn your radio back up, Dolores, because I'd like to hear what my guests may have to say about this. Joe, do you have anything to say about this, the situation where she is always on time with her payment, and yet she's getting calls from Chase saying, hey, you're late, you're late, you're late?
Yeah, that seems very unusual to me. And just because the caller ID reflects a legitimate Chase number doesn't necessarily mean it came from Chase. People who are trying to swindle you have access to what's called caller ID spoofing technology, which can make any number they want appear on your caller ID screen.
Terrible.
They're well aware of legitimate Chase number one. So it could still be a scam, and Chase might not really have the awareness. But, you know, that being said, a lot of these large banks, the left hand has no idea what the right hand is doing, and it wouldn't be that surprising that Chase is just being a little bumbleheaded about processing your payments. But, you know, to save yourself this kind of a headache in the future, if you have the capability of automating the payments, either where you push the payments out, you know, say the first of the month or the 30th of the previous month, so that it arrives a week before the due date, or let Chase pull it out of a bank account so that it arrives in plenty of time, that probably would eliminate this problem if it's coming from Chase itself. But I still would suspect that this could be an imposter.
I'm very suspicious about this. And one of the things, Dolores, that I would suggest is, should this continue to happen to you, and you are sure that you are making the payments on time, I think you should file, I don't know where you live, but I think you should file a complaint with the district attorney's office for your county, the Consumer Protection Unit. Generally, what will happen is, with a complaint like that, the district attorney's office, at least I'll explain to you what at least my office would do, we would send a letter to Chase, or whatever the entity is, with a copy of your complaint, asking them to respond. And any legitimate business that is not out to scam people will respond. And so that's what I would suggest if this happens again to you. So good luck, and I'm glad you went into the bank. But as Joe says, that may have still been a scam, even though you found this number on your phone. Let's go to
one more.
Yeah, go ahead, Joe. Please.
You.
Are you there?
Financing.
Go ahead. Say that again.
I'll just make a comment off the air. But if you mentioned that you were refinancing, and this is a mortgage you've had for 15 years, I don't know how many times you've refinanced in the future, but in the past, I should say. But it's almost guaranteed that you would be eligible for a better rate, perhaps from a competitor, Chase. So if you're even thinking about the idea, you owe it to yourself to comparison shop and take a look at some other banks and credit unions and find out how much better you could do, because potentially that could save you tens of thousands of dollars over the next 15 years if you still have 15 to go.
That's really good advice, Jill. Really good. All right. Adam, welcome to the program.
Hi, good evening. You know, there's something that a lot of small businesses, maybe even thousands of small businesses, getting scammed by a company called Yelp. Yelp, Y-E-L-P. What they do, they send a salesman to the business and they ask for some fees. They can promote your business. Usually it varies, a small business, anywhere from $500 a month up to $10,000. In our case, they demanded $3,000. When business tells them no, all of the good reviews disappear, and kind of fake bad reviews appears, and they appear for many years, as old as the company itself have. And as of now, I believe there is somebody having a movie about to be made. It's called The Billion Dollars Bully. And I want your advice. You can never get hold of them. You can never, but we can never get hold of them. When they send somebody to the business, they send somebody, like in my friend's case, they send somebody who demanded $3,000 because the business was middle-sized business. And then when that person told them, no, I'm not interested, then they came back again another week or two, and they said, well, we'll put it down to 2,000. And then, you know, the person told them, we think about it a bit, but eventually told them, no, we're not interested in the service. At that time, the business had about 20 good reviews, no bad reviews at all. And then soon after that, not even a couple of weeks after the refusal, all of the good reviews were wiped out, disappeared, and only all several bad reviews started appearing from people that don't have been in the business at all. Not only that, but as far as the business is concerned, with big, very big, large customer base, whenever any customer put a review, good review, it either does not show up at all, or it shows up for hours, or just 1 or 2 days. So we actually have such a great, my friend does, have such a great base of customers that people tell us, you know, I went to Alba, gave a review. We had hundreds of people who put good reviews, but they never posted. They never post them at all. The man who owned the company is a very shady character. His name is...
Don't name anybody's name.
Okay.
Don't name anybody's name. Adam, let me get some comments for you, please, on this, because I do want to take a couple more calls. Joe, do you have any comments on what Adam is talking about with regard to Yelp? Joe? We've lost Joe again. That's very unfortunate. Jay, do you have any comments?
I'm really not familiar with that. I have no comment at all. It would be of value.
And I have no knowledge about this with Yelp either. I certainly think that it would be worth it for someone to who's in Adam's position or his friend's or a small business person's position to, if you don't have a business lawyer that has been referred to you by an associate or a friend or a family member, I think it would be worth it for you to call the bar association in the county that you are in and ask to have an initial appointment, half an hour appointment with an attorney who does, let's say, business litigation, to discuss this and get some pointers on whether or not there's some basis here or not for some kind of improper kind of action, that whatever the outfit is that is putting this up, I think you need to have a nose-to-nose or face-to-face with an attorney on this. And I'm not trying to find a business for attorneys. That's not where I'm coming from. I'm trying to help you in terms of avoiding problems. If there is a problem, trying to find out how do you deal with it? What do you do in trying to resolve the problem that you may be faced with, a legal problem? So that's my thought on that. And we've got, we've got Karen. Welcome to the program.
Oh, good evening, Chuck. Yeah, so over the years, I've had a number of calls that were definitely fraudulent, scam, illegal, criminal, with the full intent. And so what I think is that this is just a suggestion for people out there is when somebody calls and says, I'm with PG&E or I'm with a Chase or I'm with whatever, the first thing would be to say, and what is your name? What is your full name?
Yeah.
What is your telephone number? What is your physical address for your company? What company are you calling from? What's the name of a supervisor that's there? You know, what state are you calling from? How long have you been in business? And then you can just have, instead of being feeling like a victim, you can bombard them with all sorts of questions, demanding information from them, and don't even give them a chance to demand anything from you.
Karen, what do you do for a living?
I'm a repair specialist.
Are you really? Well, you're a pretty sharp repair specialist.
Well, that's what I think, because, you know, you get all these calls.
Yeah.
And you just know it. And number one, I do have caller ID on my phone.
Yeah.
So I can see I'm getting a lot of calls that says Pennsylvania.
Oh, are you?
Ohio.
Uh-huh.
New York. I get a call that says, comes up Boston. You go, well, this is just nobody. It's nothing. But if I... Let's say they sneak in with a 510 number, and it's maybe I think, oh, maybe it's a client that's calling me, and by mistake I don't let the call run through the machine.
Mm-hmm.
then that is what I will do. I'll go, well, let's see, who are you? Where are you calling from? So that's what I like to do. And that way, that makes you feel, or makes the person out there feel, that they don't have to sit there and let these people run a number on them.
Well, very good, Karen. Let me get some comments.
That's just a suggestion.
No, these are wonderful suggestions, I think. Let me get some comments from my guests.
Thank you, Chuck.
Yeah, thank you very much for calling, Karen.
Okay.
Before Jace says something, Joe, are you back? I guess Joe is not back, unfortunately. We had a real problem with whatever the is going on here. Joe has not returned, but let's hear from Jay.
Yes, regarding unwanted calls, a lot of them are being made by robots. I personally at home receive several a day, but I do not answer the phone. And if you have an answering machine and the message says call us back, you don't have to do it. But if you end up talking with someone, that just encourages them to continue to call you. So I recommend that you don't even talk to people that you think may be scammers.
Yeah, yeah. Very good. Okay. All right. I'm going to take another call now, and we're going to have Benjamin. Welcome to the program. Benjamin, are you there? Yeah, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, I am. Are you hearing me okay?
Oh, you're fine. You're fine. Go ahead.
Okay. I love your program.
Thank you.
My question mainly is about elderly. My mother, I think, is a real target for these people.
Of course.
She wouldn't hang up.
Yeah, hey. Yeah, go ahead.
And is there, she has enough money, she could even hire somebody. I mean, I try to help her as much as I can. Are there services that will, I don't know, advise you or screen, or maybe you could send your mail to them and they would scan your mail, or
let me, Benjamin, let me interrupt. Is your mother living on her own?
Yes, she is. She's in Los Angeles, not here.
Yeah, that's a difficult situation. Let me see if there are any services that my guests know about. Joe, are you back?
Yeah, hi.
Good.
I'm not sure how comfortable you or she would feel about this, but one common solution is for you to take power of attorney over financial affairs. I certainly would rather have myself or another trusted family member rather than some random for-profit entity taking charge of a significant estate, if that's what.
Problem, Joe, is that Benjamin's mother is in L.A. and he's up here in the Bay Area, I presume. That's a problem.
There's so many people who would take more than their fair share in that kind of an arrangement. I know of no company that we could recommend, and I would highly recommend looking into taking power of attorney yourself or someone else.
Benjamin,
even if I did, what if she agreed to something? Could I do anything about it? I mean,
well, here's what I would suggest, Benjamin, frankly. One is, I think you should contact Adult Protective Services for L.A. County. See if you can talk with someone down there. Find out if they have some thoughts that might be helpful to you. I think the next thing that you should do with regard to power of attorney, and I'd like you to seriously think about this, is contact the California Board of Legal Specialization and make an appointment to meet with an attorney who specializes in trusts and estates. And I'm sorry to tell you, we have run out of time. And I want to thank you both very much. Jay White, thanks so much. Pro bono emeritus attorney with the Legal Aid Society of San Mateo County. Thanks so much. And Joe Rideout, thanks so much. I'm sorry we had problems with the telephones tonight. It's just a real problem. Manager of Consumer Services for Consumer Action, thank you both very much. And we'll do another program, I hope, in a few months, because obviously there's too much of this stuff going on. Your Legal Rights production staff members are program engineer Joanne Marr and production assistant Martin McClain. Funding of this segment of Your Legal Rights has been made possible by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association and the San Mateo County Bar Association. Additional funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Trust and Estate Section of the State Bar, the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar, and the California Applicants Attorneys Association. Next week, if you're having a problem over an attorney's fee, we're going to talk about the State Bar's mandatory fee arbitration program. It's a low-cost thing. Guests are Douglas Hull, Director of the Mandatory Fee Arbitration Program, and Lorraine Walsh, Program Fee Arbitrator and Certified Specialist in Legal Malpractice. Thank you very much for joining us on April Fool's Day evening and listening to Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney.